Our first scripture this morning is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
This morning's scripture is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You're my son. Today I have begotten you." And he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. When Jesus was born, did he enter this world fully prepared to be the Savior of the world? Or did he have to grow into the role? That's the question we're pondering today. I've already mentioned that Jesus is considered fully God and fully human. But when he was on this earth, did he show up prepared to be the Christ, the Savior of the world, or did he have to grow as he went through life into the role of the Christ, Savior of the world? One of my guilty TV pleasures is a comedy, a movie that was frequently in reruns, and I won't name it because I don't recommend it. But in it, there's a scene. A family's gathered around the dinner table, and the father of the family says a prayer, says grace, and he prays, "Dear Lord, baby Jesus." And his wife interrupts him right there and says, "You know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby." And the father replies, "Well, I like the Christmas Jesus best. And I'm saying grace. And when you say grace, you can say it in grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whatever you want." The father resumes his prayer. "Dear tiny Jesus, in your golden fleece diapers, with your tiny balled-up fists." At that point, his father-in-law angrily interrupts, "He was a man. He had a beard." Father snaps back again. "Listen, I'm saying grace. I'm saying grace, and I like the Christmas version best." He concludes his prayer saying, "Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn baby Jesus, who doesn't even know a word yet, little infant, so cuddly, yet still omnipotent." And he concludes grace by saying, "Thank you for all your power and grace, dear baby God. Amen." In just one funny scene, this movie that, again, I won't mention or recommend, the screenwriter sums up one of the debates about who Jesus really is. Recently, I preached a sermon about God, Jesus being fully God and fully human. Well, what was Jesus when he was born? Did he enter the world complete and ready to serve as Savior? Or did there, like all human beings, did he have to grow into the role? The author of Hebrews gives us kind of a mixed picture of this, but seems to suggest that Jesus grew into the role. And the point is, we can grow into a greater role in our walk with God. We are not fully God, but we certainly are fully human. And the human part of us means we can grow. And perhaps the human part of him meant that he was capable of growth in his life. First of all, I always feel the need, when I talk about these books in the Bible, nobody knows who the author of Hebrews is. For some time, the church claimed the author was Paul, but the vocabulary doesn't match his other writings. They see a huge difference. The reformer, 500 years ago, Martin Luther, he thought that Apollos wrote it. And Apollos is just kind of a footnote in Scripture. He's a Jewish Christian from Alexandria. He's mentioned in the book of Acts, and it's said that he is eloquent and well-versed in the Scriptures. And so that kind of fits perfectly. This is probably the best written of all the epistles. If you look at, for those who know Greek, this is the most sophisticated thing the Scriptures have. Well, whoever wrote it, the author does not consider the baby Jesus to be completely born into a fully developed Savior of the world. Instead, he writes of Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who will obey him. And the clues are in the verbs. He learned. He suffered. He was made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation. So, Pastor, are you on the dangers on the precipice of heresy here? Are you saying that Jesus was not born perfect? And no, I didn't say that. I agree with Peter, who wrote, Jesus did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. So if you think I think that Jesus was a sinner, no, I don't. The fully God part of him was there all along. But just because he was sinless doesn't mean that he was born without the human need to grow, certainly physically, as he went through life. The author of Luke wrote about Jesus. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Or, as the King James put it, the child grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. When Jesus was 12 years old and his parents lost him during the Passover festival, once they found him, they tried to scold him for staying back and having discussions with the religious leaders. And Jesus defended himself. 12-year-old Jesus defended himself, saying, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So even at the age of 12, he had a strong, keen sense of God as Father. But growing is going on. This discussion, this learning is going on, and it doesn't stop. When he's 30 years old, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. There he fasted, and he was tested and tempted. Now, if he was engineered to be incapable of sinning, like he just couldn't do it, why would there have been any temptations for him to experience and for the enemy to place before him? He passed those tests. And how did he do it? He passed with Scripture, which he read voraciously and understood well. Jesus retreated on his own frequently throughout his 3-year ministry on the earth. He would go alone, off alone with God, displaying his need to check in with God. Now God, if Jesus is God, God needed to check in with God's self. And yet that's what Jesus does repeatedly throughout his ministry. And one final test, ultimately, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke place him in the garden, facing one last chance where he could have chosen to reject his role as Savior. He's asking for the cup to pass, and the cup would be not only the suffering of crucifixion, which is formidable, but the suffering of having to take on the sin of the world. Ultimately, the cup means his own separation from God, from God's self, kind of like a big explosion in the Godhead. Jesus died feeling forsaken by God. He quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in that garden, facing that test, he decided that God's will was more important than his own desires, whatever they might have been, to be liked, to be pain-free, and to live to a ripe old age. From the manger to the garden, ultimately through death on the cross, Jesus grew into the role of Savior of the world. Perhaps it's fair to say that because he was born fully God and fully human, Jesus' DNA was skewed towards perfection. But perhaps, nevertheless, growth was in his DNA. Hebrews here describes him going through life, perhaps much like we go through life, offering up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. So perhaps Jesus didn't just show up fully formed. Perhaps Jesus had to grow into the role, and he had to go through some lonely nights on his knees, praying to God, time alone, crying about what was going on, lamenting about the way his life was going, wondering if God had something else for him, asking for God's direction, faithful, obedient, even to the point of failure and death. But I think, you know, he was born perfect. Aren't babies just about perfect? I think so. All those TV shows about this ugly baby that people complain about, I don't think I've ever seen that baby. To me, they're all beautiful. But they all have to grow. A little infant doesn't know how to fake it. A little infant doesn't pretend to cry for about 6 months, and then you hear them in the crib going, and you think, they're faking it. They learned. Jesus was born perfect, but he had more growth to come. Naomi will tell you, I have to draw her into the sermon, but I've told her repeatedly, at Christmas time, we're not going to sing Away in a Manger. You think, oh, but I love that hymn. Why? It's because Pastor Steve can't get past the passage that says, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. You don't think Jesus cried as a baby? I mean, that's what babies do. That's how they communicate. Of course he cried. Of course he needed a diaper change from time to time. Perhaps he got sick. Perhaps he struggled with growing up. Perhaps he made awkward physical mistakes and fell down and broke things, the way all of us did growing up. But he grew. And that's the point. He grows. And I think engineered into his fully human DNA is the capacity for growth. And he had it, and we have it too. The same epistle, Hebrews, declares that God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But, okay, he's the same. But isn't part of that sameness the capacity to grow? We've all had a capacity, the same capacity, to grow our whole lives. And so maybe Jesus' sameness includes growth. Like God's kingdom, which is also forever but always growing, always expanding, until it's eventually capable, as theologian Jürgen Moltmann said, of capable of conquering the gates of hell itself. Our question is today, is if Jesus is the perfect baby son of God, the 9-pound, 8-ounce perfect baby son of God, was capable of growth, are we able to live into our human capability of growth, we who purport to be his followers? Are we capable of continued growth? Well, how do we do that? Well, we do it the way Jesus did. Jesus knew the scriptures, studied them, and had them internalized in his head. And Jesus prayed, as is described here, before God when things seemed difficult and overwhelming. That's how we grow as people and as Christians. Are we capable, we who are fully human, capable, as he was, of that growth?